All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
The existence of God from the impossibility of the contrary. The transcendental proof for God's existence is that without him, it is impossible to prove anything.
Let every tongue and every tribe responsive to his call. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
Jesus Christ is King.
Take your hand.
You're in at the end.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's been like that the whole time. Well, anyway, everybody, thanks for plugging in. If you have yet, I don't know. I'm looking at the screen here. I'm not sure who's plugged in.
We're
anyway.
Good. We're on. We're rolling, man.
Welcome to the Tag You're It live cast and podcast. I'm Ray Ray, and this is
Dave.
And we've got a special friend in the studio with us.
Super special.
Is it, what's your name?
Casey.
All right, this
Thanks
is Casey. So we're going to have him. We're going to have an awesome discussion today. Today we were going to have a more of, instead of a dialogue, we're going to do a little bit more of a in-depth discussion on God and guns. I know that we talked about that the past couple podcasts, but that didn't happen. So today it's going to be me and Dave and Casey talking about God and guns. So that's why we have him up here. So thank you so much for coming down and coming down in my basement and discussing with us.
Yeah, I was a little creepy, but I think I'm over that now.
All right. Yeah.
So the idea for this is actually incredibly important. We actually first had the idea back in February when there was a school shooting in Florida. And I thought, man, that'd be a great apologetic topic for us to deal with and for us to discuss. Who do I know that is really good and has a great knowledge of firearms, and who is, again, someone that I think could discuss this topic effectively, and someone who had some background, at least, on this idea. Casey was one of the first people that I jumped to on that. So, Casey, tell us just a little bit about yourself, so that, because there will be some folks on the podcast who have no idea who Casey Rash is. So tell us a little bit, first of all, about what you do and about your family and some of your hobbies.
I'm still a little at a loss of how Dave came to me for this. There's probably a lot of people that are far more qualified. I'm from Buffalo, Missouri. I've been married for 13, almost 14 years. My wife and I have three kids, 6 to 10.
Nice.
And my hobbies are all outdoors related. I spent 8 years in the military, and so that's kind of where a lot of my training and ideals and things I'm comfortable with come from. I did grow up in a rural area and was raised around guns, and so I never had a phobia about that. And that's kind of it about me, really.
So often I find, and this is one reason that I really thought you'd be a great person for this, a lot of times I find that many in the media and many who uphold a non-Christian worldview will say, oh, those Christians, they're just clinging to their guns and their religion. You're an exceptionally articulate person. You're an exceptionally thoughtful person. And so I figured that you could, as a leader in your church, be someone who could give us a good, thoughtful, lay leader type of defense, because you don't have to be a highly qualified apologist to give a rational defense of why it's important to defend your home and why it's important to embrace the idea that God has put you as the head and as the protector of your home. So with that, I want to again just point to the timeliness of this. On Friday of this week, of course, this will be a dated episode, but on Friday of last week, a guy goes into a high school and shoots up 20 people, kills 10. And of course, then there are 10 that are still injured. And that occurs down in Texas. Really sad situation down in Southern Texas. It was, again, in Santa Fe, and a really sad thing. And in my mind, I'm always thinking, if I was there and I had a handgun, what would I do? And so that's kind of what we want to just begin to talk about. I want to tackle some ideas. And you are an individual who protects his home with firearms. Why, as a Christian, do you think that it is appropriate or even a viable option to defend your home with guns? when the Bible says things like in John 18:11, put your sword back into its sheath, or Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And of course, Jesus also says in Matthew 26:52, those who use a sword will die by the sword. Mm-hmm. You know that that is God's word. You also know that you have a calling. And how do you negotiate that? I did just put the challenge.
There's a lot on the table. There's a lot on the table. I will say you're right. I'm not an apologist. I would say that I don't have the theological training for these things that a lot of people do. I'm very much interested in it. And that's kind of where it rests for me, is my personal interest and the things that I choose to study and research, et cetera. The one you mentioned, John 8, where you said put your sword back in.
Yeah, John 18:11.
Yeah, that was after Peter cut off the servant's ear.
Yeah.
So it's important to know Jesus didn't say throw your sword in the sea and never use it again.
Right on.
He said put it in its sheath, insinuating where it can be retrieved and used when appropriate.
And also, in this context, you know, you got to realize, you know, this was about Peter cutting off the ear. Christ was just confronted with his betrayer, that there were people that were coming after him. We see Peter talk about this in his sermon in Acts 2, where this is what God predestined to happen. And so whenever we take this context, so you kind of just saw here, you thought of a different way. You know, he didn't say throw away the sword, but also we've got to think about the context of why, you know, what was surrounding this issue of Peter cutting off the ear and Jesus saying, put this back in the sheet. This was supposed to happen.
Right.
So this is sort of a categorical error whenever you're then relating this context into the context of America owning guns, having them, whatever. So, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, just to tell the listeners, you know, we've got to do context. We have to do exegesis. Always. We have to look at it grammatically, historically, and put these things together to get to flesh out to what the true meaning is. Whenever people are just going to throw out proof text.
Yeah.
All
and
day,
that's what I was trying to do there. You did an excellent job in my mind. You say, Jesus didn't just say, go throw your sword into the sea. It was put it back in sheath.
Yeah.
You can use it again. It can be retrieved again. And I always, again, think that that has a great way to respond. So
I was going to write things down as we're talking.
Do you need a pen?
I have my notes, but you said something that made me think about something else, and I'm sure I'll think of it in a minute. But when you have conversations like this, there are categories of people that are going to get extremely emotionally charged.
That's right.
And they're going to say, I don't care what the Bible says. I want my damn guns.
Yeah,
And you know, that's not entirely irrelevant. I don't think, because, you know, we all deal with emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all navigate them differently.
Yes, sir.
And then there are going to be people, there's a category of people I think I fall into where I say, I want to think that, but what is right? Like, what is it for me? Is that going to be right for me to take that position? So I do a lot of reading and I talk to people like you guys, and, I just have to come to my own conclusions and rest in the fact that not everybody's going to be comfortable owning, much less using guns. And the people that aren't comfortable with it, I would not recommend it to them.
So the position then is, just because as a Christian, you find a good reason to defend your home and from Scripture can contend, as we're going to continue to do here, you should defend your home. You feel like God has given me and granted me, again, the libertarian freedom, or the freedom when it comes to how I want to do that with a firearm. I have that freedom to do that as a Christian in the United States. I'm going to do that because I have that freedom, and I think it's the most effective means. But not everybody is going to have that same conviction. And you're saying Scripture doesn't say everyone grab a gun and defend your home. Agreed completely. Right. I think that's 100%.
Yeah. So we
correct.
Have,
I don't think someone's being sinful if they don't have a gun to defend their home.
Yeah. And with what he was kind of saying, you know, you have people over here feeling this.
Yeah.
You have people over here feeling this. What should we do? What should we do whenever we have two contradictory feelings or understandings and beliefs? What do we do? Here we need to go to Scripture.
Right.
And yes, you threw out the proof text to try to test them. You know, like here, hey, some people that feel negatively toward guns or using these proof texts. And then you've got the other people that would be at the stereotypical, they are clinging to their guns. And just like slavery or anything else that has been, that we know from scripture is not right.
Right.
They've done the same thing for pro-slavery, where they just spit out tons of texts. And then a person that really doesn't know, they kind of go, well, I guess the Bible does say that, you know, what should we do? And again, it comes back to that, what is the context, right?
Yeah.
So we need to go to scripture. So, you know, as you, you know, you're a lay leader, you know, you said that you're not an apologist. You are, I mean, in my eyes, you know, you are
you
a Christian, you're a disciple, you know, you've got to defend your faith. So in what has been your personal study? Like, you know, have you really considered, you know, your, you know, whenever we get to these Christian freedoms, you know, we still need to be standing back and going, you know, should I be doing this? So in your life, you know, as somebody that uses guns, for whatever reason you do, what have you done in your study in the past that would give you the biblical warrant to do what you do?
There's been a lot. I right now go to Adam and Eve and the fall. There's a lot in that situation that sets the tone for biblical manhood.
I agree completely.
The whole situation puts a lot of responsibility, if not all the responsibility for the situation, on Adam.
Right on.
He was essentially held accountable. He had to answer. And
you hit it right on, man. And Genesis
there's several verses there covered successively where it's like a lot of responsibility is placed on Adam.
Yes, sir.
So that sets the tone for me and my household. I'm responsible for the happenings, the goings on. Is my family safe and taken care of? Do I take that serious?
You just did something that I wouldn't have done. And that's that you're here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, it says very clear, so when the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to her eyes, that the tree was also desirable to make her wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And who does God go to first in that? Adam.
Right. He asked Eve, what have you done? And then he went to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's the one who's held
responsible. Said, this happened under your watch.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I had some notes about that. Let me make sure.
I really like the way that you've handled that 100%. I wouldn't have even began there, but that's exactly where you began. And that's I love the way that you're thinking on that.
To me, it's this whole idea of like God and guns, and is there a line that I need to abide? I want to understand, what does biblical manhood look like? And it may look different to me than other people. So, and that's
the responsibility for your home is where it begins for you. And that can be seen in the early on in the scripture that husbands have that men have a responsibility to protect their home, and they ultimately the buck stops with them.
That where you were reading, what verses is that?
That was Genesis chapter 3, and I began at verse 6 there. And just so when the woman saw that it was the tree that was good for food.
So
right on.
There's a lot that happens there. And the note I made is God held Adam accountable for the fall. And this, among other facts, strongly revealed that a man is responsible for the safety and well-being of his family.
Yeah, right on.
That can be easily inferred.
Yes, sir.
So I think, you know, it's ordained, predestined, whatever. A consequence of that is that we have, yet again, categories of people, and I think probably is now most well known due to the movie American Sniper, which I haven't seen yet.
Neither.
The scene where the older brother sticks up for his little brother.
Yeah.
The little brother's getting picked on, and the older brother comes in and finishes it. And the dad tells him about wolves, sheep, and sheepdogs.
Yes.
As an analogy for categories of people. Wolves, there are predators out there.
Yes.
Sheep are just everyday people positively contributing to society, which accounts for most people.
Yes.
Predators are a relatively smaller portion. And then there are sheepdogs, which are also a relatively small portion, who are, you know, not afraid or not hesitant to confront the wolves.
Yeah.
And their moral misjudgments, if that's
so
a good way to generalize it.
It begins, though, with this presupposition, in my mind. Humanity has fallen, and there are evil people out there. In order to make that statement, you had to come to the idea that there are evil people out there. Not everybody is good. Not everybody is nice.
True.
There are evil, fallen people who are going to do what they can to destroy others. And right. Because that's a reality, God has also given us as men, there are serpents, right? And they are looking for ways to deceive or to manipulate or to hurt and destroy others. And because of that, there is a responsibility on man. And when man has that responsibility, or when, I'll say just man, when humanity has a responsibility to protect a different type of person, which I think is a great category, there are women who are also called to defend, right? But within God's model, we definitely see that within the home, within the family, as condoned by the Lord, there is a responsibility of the husband to defend. But there's also just a responsibility to defend your home. And I think that that's where this presupposition goes, is there's evil people who want in. What do we do? How do we defend against them?
So I would think most people, so far, I don't think I've said anything contentious.
No, I don't think so.
Most people would agree that, you know, there are bad people, there are good people, there are people that try to stay out of
the way,
out of anything, that just want to live their life and carry on. So carrying on from the idea of like biblical manhood, you know, we fell based on decisions, and that changed everything.
Yes, sir.
For men.
Yes, sir.
We have instincts and intuition that maybe otherwise should never have been in the picture had we not fallen. Mm-hmm. I'll just say survival of the fittest. Males in the natural world, natural fauna. I've spent a lot of time in the outdoors observing wildlife and things, and males are quarrelsome. They fight. They have established territories, et cetera, et cetera. We're really no different. We're animals. You think about when you're in public and you're just assessing a situation around you.
Yeah.
You're in a restaurant or whatever, and you're naturally just kind of like, well, if something happened with that dude, I would need some help. So who around here might be willing? Like, you know, maybe I think of those things and other people don't. But I think that's a natural thing.
Gotcha.
Size up. Mm-hmm. People around you, these are instincts.
Yes.
And these are intuitions. And they come naturally to males in any species. So the idea of survival of the fittest and protecting what's yours and establishing a perimeter, so to speak, your household, is, I mean, dare I say, ordained. Having the idea of wanting something to protect as this is mine and I'm responsible for it. And I think that standing up for your family and the moral things that are right is reflecting God.
Outstanding. Yeah, I agree completely with that idea. And that is where the firearms come into this issue.
Yeah.
So we should, I think we've established very clearly from Scripture, starting with Genesis, that God has given men a specific calling to protect. And that is a spiritual protection, and that is a physical protection in my mind. So then it moves from that to, here we are, 21st century America. God has given us means to protect. Why can you protect your home if someone were to come in? Why are you going for a pistol instead of a baseball bat? And can you do that from Scripture? I know, I'm just putting these challenges on you pretty hard. Yeah.
The fastest way to de-escalate the situation is escalation of force.
Yes, sir.
And if I don't know what I'm up against, I'm going to naturally go for the best weapon I have, right? Like, I'm not going to go with less.
So some would contend, and of course, John Piper had that article, we had talked about it, like 2008 article, And he said, well, those missionaries who were killed, they were just trying to share Jesus. That's why they didn't defend themselves with guns. It's a different category, though, isn't it?
Yeah, totally different
and category. And so how do you negotiate that?
Okay, so actually, I brought something that I found.
Outstanding.
Barrett Fawbush. Ever heard of that guy?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
He's a pastor. He broke down Exodus 22:2.
Gotcha.
I'll read the verse and then go through how he broke it down. If the thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. But if the sun has risen on him, there will be blood guiltiness on his account. Okay, so here's how he breaks this down. I'm just going to read this. And
go for it.
If we have to like provide a link to it, I can send that to you.
Yeah.
God destined humanity to have value. We are to value human life, and because God values it, because we bear his image. God allows his son to die on our behalf because of how much he loves us. But nevertheless, it is from this foundation that Exodus 22:2 is built on. And it presupposes a fundamental principle that never needed to be mentioned in the text. If a person is trying to kill you, you are justified in defending yourself. And here's how he breaks down the verse. If the thief, whose intentions are to steal and not to kill, is caught while breaking in, at night when it is dark and you cannot determine his intentions, you know someone's breaking in, that's all you know, and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness. You will not be held accountable for murder on his account. But if the sun, which has yet to rise in the previous verse, has risen on him, there will be blood guiltiness on his account because you killed a thief whose identifiable intentions were to steal and not to kill.
Yeah.
So, considering a home invasion.
Yes.
I know a story about a military member that someone was breaking into his house. He retrieved his pistol and he took actions accordingly. And it ended up being his daughter who had snuck out and was sneaking back in. And
oh, wow.
She died.
Wow.
So was he, you know, tried as a murderer? No, that wasn't his intent.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best example, but it alludes to the ideas that someone's coming in. You don't know their intentions. They know they're committing a crime. They know they're in the wrong. And I know there are moral absolutes.
Yes.
There is right and there is wrong. And no one has asked my permission. I'm not aware of anyone to come. I think there is enough argument to be made that I don't feel convicted by my reasoning and my understanding of scripture to have firearms in my home and to be willing to use them in defense.
I think that there is a really solid argument based upon some of Jesus' teachings in Matthew 12 and Mark 3, where he says, can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds a strong man, and then he will plunder his house? There's the, of course, parallel passage there in Mark 3:27, and, of course, the Luke 11:21, when a strong man is fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are undisturbed. I think that there is a presupposition that God has given us property, material property, and we have a possession of that in this time-bound universe. Now, property, in the sense my family is not my property, but I have a responsibility to them. Spiritually, I am to lead my house. I am to love my wife. I go to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm not going to let someone just beat the crud out of me.
Right.
Right. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm supposed to love my wife. I'm supposed to love my wife. I'm supposed to love my wife. Three times it's there. Also tells me in 1 Corinthians that my body is not my own and my wife's body is not her own. We're one, united in marriage. So if someone's coming after me, I'm going to defend myself. And so just as I would defend myself, I would defend my wife, and I would use the best means that I have possible to do that. Now, again, if someone is coming after me trying to beat me up, I think that it's a little bit over the top to at first just pull out a and just start firing.
Like the cops do.
Well, I mean, it's an issue.
Yeah,
we have to deal with the reality.
Yeah.
We can't just pass stuff off. So
yeah,
that's going to offend somebody, I'm sure.
But like I've used this example before. The only time that this has ever happened, I think I'd shared with you when that happened back in November of 2015, when the guy was staring into our, or it might have been 2016. Yeah, November 2016, the guy was staring into our window. I yelled at him. He started to run. I ran back and grabbed a rifle. I was ticked. Now, I'm really glad I didn't find him, but I was going to stop him. I was going to say, you stop right there. I wanted the cops to get him.
Yeah.
And come to find out, the guy actually had a history of staring and peeping Tom stuff. And, of course, I'd had to go to court against this guy. And I think there were even, and I'm not joking, there was an argument of pedophilia also on this guy. And so I wasn't wrong in my judgment. Like, this right. means bad news. Now, if I would have just ran back to my room and grabbed my gun and just started firing at him through the window,
right.
wrong answer. But to yell at him and to get him to run or to stop him with stop right there, I will shoot
yeah.
you. I think that there was this person is a threat, not only to my home, he's a threat to other people. Because if he's going to do this at my home, he's going to do it to other individuals. And so there's an element that I think God does ordain us with
mm-hmm.
As husbands to care for the spiritual well-being, but the physical well-being. And I can tie that right back to Ephesians 5 and 1 Corinthians,
right.
where it talks about the husband and the wife, how their body is not their own. And I think that extends to my
and
children.
They're one. So
yes.
if I say I would defend myself, then it implies that I'm willing to defend my wife.
So why is this not an evangelism issue? Why don't they just say, why don't you just love that guy?
I can still love him. I mean, we're all still held accountable regardless.
Yeah.
Right.
So, am I even answering your question?
Well, I think that you're go for it, Adam.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to say this. I mean, I think what we have here is we've got a categorical issue. So, I mean, whenever you see it talked about to the apostles, they're getting ready to be sent off into, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And that's what they were sent off for, to preach the gospel. Now, in the context of that, you know, whenever they're sitting up there, and I think it's in Luke 22, whenever they're like, oh, yeah, here's two swords, too. And Jesus is like, this is enough, you know, because,
right.
you know, the thing is that the gospel will not be spread by the sword.
Right.
Now, we do see through history that people tried to make you a Christian by the sword. They would be acting in contrary to the teachings of Scripture of how the gospel is supposed to move. The gospel is supposed to move by the Holy Spirit, through the word and teachings of Christ. But the categorical issue here is we're talking about defending our home. We're talking about we're sleeping at night. We've got wives, we've got children, you know, as men, men that are single, women that are single, you know, it's an issue for everybody too. You've got a meth head busting into your home. Can you reason with them? You know, that's kind of what my thing is like, I can't give this guy the gospel.
Right.
I've got somebody hopped up on something and they're pointing a gun to me, or they're going for my child's room or my room, and I can talk to them until I'm blue in the face, and my wife could get raped because of me just going, Jesus, 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 whenever,
mm-hmm.
you know, this isn't I wish it could be an opportunity for evangelism. It's not going to happen. And me protecting and being a good steward of what God has given me, because children are gifts, wives are gifts and blessings from God. I've got to steward that, and I've got to protect them. And it is my responsibility. And if that takes me to have to grab a gun and end that guy's life that's getting ready to take mine, whatever he wants to do with them, whatever at the moment. I mean, so we got a categorical issue. We're not talking about evangelism here. We're talking about the protection of life.
Right. And it,
you know,
causes me to go to Acts chapter 9. You know, Acts, you've heard someone teach on Acts a little bit. So Acts chapter 9, we've got Paul ravaging the church, right? And then what happens? It says that Philip, he rolled out of town. he rolled out of town quick, what, to protect his own life.
Right.
And I would imagine that anyone in the church would have done the exact same thing. It's different when I'm going to the martyr stake as opposed to my family being forced to go to the martyr stake. Like, I'm going to do the best I can to protect them. You want to hit this question real quick? We did get Benjamin Brixey.
I know Ben Brixey.
All right. Well, Ben Brixey has got a question here for you. He says,
I'm Barber, by the way.
Hi, Casey. Always love your outdoorsy pictures, mate. What is an assault rifle, Casey? And what is a less lethal assault rifle? And should the FBI putting a plant inside a presidential campaign to scare us? If so, we'll just deal with the first.
Yeah. Oh, that's Ben Brixey. Oh, yeah.
So share with us, again, what is an assault rifle and what's a less lethal? I mean, how does that work? Because you hear that, that's always a conversation.
I'm going to say I think it's a media term because assault is assault and a rifle is a rifle. They're not.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Even in the hands of someone in the military, assault is assault. A rifle is a rifle. It's totally dependent on who's wielding it, and rifle has just become a catchphrase.
That's a categorical mistake
Exactly.
Too. But yeah, I mean,
what is a less lethal assault rifle? It's a less trained person.
That's what that is. Well, wouldn't that be? I don't know if the less trained person might be more lethal.
So I want to make sure that I've summarized some things. I want to make sure. I think we're kind of coming to a good little point here where I can kind of finish with one last question, but let me make sure I've summarized effectively. From your position, and I agree with it wholeheartedly, everything you've said, we see from the beginning of the canon, man has been called or ordained with a responsibility for taking care. He's the one where the again, when it comes to the God-instituted family, the buck stops with the husband. Now, that doesn't mean that every husband needs to have a whole bunch of guns and be, but there is a accountability that God holds. We find that in Genesis, and we can see that move throughout the scripture. When we look at how God holds man accountable, not only for the spiritual, but for the physical well-being, we can also recognize, hey, not everyone has to protect their home with a gun, but there is a good justification for using the most effective means, of course, as given to us by the government for protecting our family. And that is, of course, in the United States, a firearm. The U.S. Constitution allows us to possess firearms. It's, again, legally justifiable. And we are, of course, supposed to, I think the government is supposed to suppress evil, says mm-hmm. that Deuteronomy 17, 1 through 7. Further, the government and government officials are in a position of authority to fight evil. 1 Peter chapter 2, mm-hmm. verses 13 to 14. Capital punishment, it's allowed by God. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. And the government can decide who gets to bear the sword also, because they bear the sword. Therefore, they've given us a ability to have a legal means to protect ourselves. And, of course, we're in the United States, and the Constitution gives us that. Therefore, we have a right to do it, not that we have a responsibility that we have to. But it's silly for me to say, well, I'm not going to lock the door on my house because somebody who needs Jesus might come in, and I want to share Jesus with them. Do you see what I'm saying? And we don't make that. We think that that's an absurd argument. And so am I tracking on everything that I feel like you've summarized pretty effectively?
Yeah. You made me think of something else.
Go for it. Yeah.
Defense of home and family isn't always about taking an offense. For instance, there are certain gas stations I don't stop at because just not a good spot, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
I won't even stop there by myself, much less with my family. I'll just go to the one on down the road because it's a little safer spot. It's less busy.
Yep.
So I'm avoiding situations.
Yes.
Just like if you're not comfortable with guns in your home, nobody says you have to have one. So what's the next thing you do? Like, well, some people install a home security system.
Yeah.
So that's that's defending.
Yes.
So this takes many forms.
Yeah.
And it's all about your preference and being comfortable with whatever.
And from the Christian side, because of this, you know, there is that, again, I want to just say there is that culture in Christianity that does cling to guns.
Totally.
And they do make fun of those that are uncomfortable with guns. And so we as Christians, if we are Christians, Some Christians are comfortable with guns. Some Christians are uncomfortable with guns. And we do not need to be mimicking the world.
Right.
And going, oh, you're so scared of guns, you liberal. You know, just so, no, we need to be like, okay, guess what? If something happens, I will protect you.
Exactly.
That's the awesome thing about the reconciliation of the gospel.
Yeah.
That we need to look in here and see. Because I do see, you know, we're in the buckle of the Bible Belt. We do see a lot of people that have put American politics and smushed it into scripture. And they are idolizing guns.
Yeah.
We do see gun idolatry. The thing is I'm not going to cling to guns for clinging to guns. I'm going to be like, hey, if that's one little tool that I can have to protect my kids, like it's like a fire extinguisher, I don't want to use it.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want my home to burn down just so I can squirt it with my fire extinguisher.
Right.
You know, same thing with the gun. I don't want somebody coming to my house.
Right.
I don't want it to use it. I bought it just for the sheer fact. I mean, I was in a barbershop. I was alone in the back and I didn't have a door. I couldn't see the doorway. One day a guy came in and left real quick and stole my bicycle. So if somebody can steal my bicycle that quick, somebody can run in and want my money, and I wouldn't even know it until they're right in the room. You
right.
know? So it's like, I have a gun for the shop and I had a gun for here at home. I don't want to use it. So we need to make sure that our intentions and our attitudes are biblical when it comes to guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do need to treat others like, you know, we do kind of see that mocking idea coming from both sides.
That's just,
you know, too. And so we need to act like Christians when it comes to this. And we need to be able to show the world with responsibility, even with these hot topic issues like this, what it looks like.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be looking at it.
The mocking side to side is just flat out ignorance. Not as a derogatory term, but like by definition, lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
To at least some degree, lack of awareness, like being aware of that there are different people and we think differently. And
yeah.
As a gun owner and someone that's okay with using guns, if someone is not comfortable with it, the last thing I want is to put a gun in their freaking hand.
Yeah.
So
right on.
Yeah.
If you don't want to, then don't. There was something else too, like all of this has to be based on scripture. And so if I look at Jesus' behavior.
Yes.
He didn't back down from the Pharisees.
That's right.
He didn't back down from the cup that was to pass. And even though he prayed, Jesus prayed for another possibility. He said, if it's possible.
Yes.
But which is crazy because he was part of the plan. He knew what was going to happen, but he still prayed. Is there another way?
Yeah.
I want to make sure I hit my notes.
You also see that Jesus used he put cords together. You know, it wasn't a lethal as a gun weapon, but he still made a weapon to make the people flee the temple. So, I mean, you know, he still had used his discernment and judgment. You know, how am I going to get these people to leave, you know, my father's house because they're turning it into a den of robbers and thieves?
Right.
I'm not going to use a gun, but hey, or I'm not going to use a big lethal, like big boulder catapult, whatever they had at the time, which would
be 9-tails.
Yeah. But he just made, you know, a whip and just, hey, get out of here, you know. But so we see Christ himself using a weapon.
Right.
And you know, you can see the discernment that he used, and he only used it to shoo them out to make a point.
Right.
So, you know, Christ really isn't a pacifist to it, but he had the right intentions, which made it unsinful, I guess, to use a weapon. So I mean, 2,000 years later, technology later, yes, we got to contextualize these things. We got to look at, you know, that grammatical, historical, hermeneutic, whenever we're looking at what scripture is before we end up getting into this conversation of today. But then again, that is central to our message whenever we're talking about, you know, what it looks like, what God says, what our Christian liberties are, and now.
Right.
You know, I have to get it contextualized, but... I may
lean a little on the conservative side, but that whole sheepdog mentality, there are people that think a certain way about carrying out their life, and almost to a point where like you're looking for the wolves, right? Like you want to know where they are and what's going on. I haven't encountered a situation where I was convicted by that yet. I'm not looking to provoke or anything. It doesn't stop at my house.
Yeah.
It's everywhere I go, everything I do, no matter who's with me, whether it's my kids or some random kid or family in the gas station, I got my eyes out.
Yeah.
And it's not just me. There's lots of people out there that think like this. And I think God did that on purpose.
Yeah, I agree completely. And it allows me to be a whole lot more comfortable when I go into church, knowing that there are people who are who are protecting me in my church. And just wanted to throw this out there too. Luke 4:29, I think it is. 4:29. Jesus is taken to the edge of the cliff, right? And it says they rose up and drove him out of town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. Jesus he had people trying to kill him, and guess what? When it wasn't the time, he got out of town. And I think that there is a mandate to protect. There is a mandate to not only protect your own life, but to protect the lives of others. Jesus does that. I mean, this is an interesting thing, too, when we talk about John chapter 20, of course, John chapter 18, forgive me, when they come and they're in the garden and the Romans are there, they're going to take everyone. He says, hey, I'm the one you came for. Get me, let these guys go. Now, what Scripture doesn't, again, let us in on is, well, what would have happened if the Romans wouldn't have let them in on? You know, well, Scripture can't be broken. Scripture said he couldn't lose any of these. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Jesus' authority was, in my mind, seen very clearly in John 18. He proved it, just to let you know, I can throw you on the ground with my words, right? And you let these folks go because I'm not going to let Scripture be broken. So just like he was going to go to atone for our sins, he was also going to make sure Scripture was not broken so that his people could be protected. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Our last little bit here, because I know we're getting close on time, and I know you've got to roll, and I'm going to have to roll too. But why isn't this a gospel issue? You know, as Christians, we want to be pointing on gospel issues. It's not a gospel issue, but it's still an important issue. Even though this isn't a gospel issue, can we bring it around to point to the gospel? Because I think Scripture always points to the gospel. And in my mind, and I'll just kind of answer it as I begin to let you formulate your answer, why is this a gospel issue but not a gospel issue? Go for it, yeah.
It's not a gospel issue because it doesn't change what makes the gospel the gospel.
That's right.
It doesn't affect my understanding of I'm broken, I can't change that. The only way to affect that is to acknowledge Christ as my Savior. I confess it.
Yes.
That's the gospel, so it doesn't change that.
Yeah.
But it supports the gospel, and that, and I may be out on a limb here,
you're
but I'm gonna
right
say this. Jesus was like mankind's sheepdog. Like, he took that. Mm-hmm. He didn't want it to happen. And if I have to come back with that verse that says he fell on his face and he prayed, if it's possible. He didn't want this to happen, but he did it. Mm. And that's kind of the sheepdog mentality. Is like, I don't want anything bad to happen, but I'm ready to handle it.
Well, that's a good way to view that. I like that a lot. I think it's I would connect it like this. The reason we talk about this is because humanity is broken. Mm-hmm. And there are evil people out there. We recognize that. We know that Christ is the solution for that. But we also recognize that God has spoken so clearly in his word that we can recognize our need to protect others. Even women are called to protect their families. I think too, very clearly, when the two women go to Solomon in the Old Testament, and the one mother said, and he says, well, bring me a sword, I'll cut this baby in half. And the one mother, whose baby it really was, says, no, don't do that. Yeah,
right.
Women are called to protect too. It's not just a male thing.
Right.
But we are called to protect those who don't have the ability to protect themselves. How's that? And
yeah.
So,
yeah, I have like a final thought.
Yeah,
after
please. I'm blessed.
And prayed, like, I kind of just wrote a concise little thing. And so it's the idea that if you're going to say you're a Christian, then that means that you believe there are moral absolutes. There is right and there is wrong. We don't define that. It's defined by Scripture.
That's right.
So the ability to observe and assess a situation for whatever it is in a person or a group's contextual actions and whatever's going on, it's not emulating or attempting to take on God's judgment of these people or groups. It's our inherent God-given mechanism to uphold these moral absolutes. We have dominion on the earth. It's our responsibility to handle this. Within the confines of Scripture, And this insinuates a very serious and heavy measure of discernment. It doesn't mean I just have an irrational love of guns, and all I want to do is hoard up these guns and ammo and be ready to kill somebody at the drop of a hat whenever they, you know, step across my threshold. That's not what it's about. It's being sober-minded and taking these things serious and leading with love. Mm. And that's the drive, is emulating Christ. Mm-hmm. I guess that's another way to tie it to the gospel, is lead with love. Because I love people, I'm willing to protect.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's biblical.
I think that was our show.
Yeah.
We had other things out here, but Casey, just want to thank you so much for being here on the Tag Your It podcast. You. What a blessing it is to have you. Casey,
you put me on the spot a couple times.
Well, I wasn't trying to put you in a bad way, but I was trying to press you, and I don't. None of it was ever done out of. But those are the type of things that I think we get pressed with, and I don't always know how to respond myself. And I do think we're called to defend God's word, defend our homes, defend those less fortunate to us. And again, I think that apologetics doesn't just end with one little. To pigeonhole it into one little thing, I think, is fallacious, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's about all I've got, Adam.
All right. Well, we've had a great episode, guys. Thank you for logging on to the Tag Your It podcast. I forgot to hit the record button, so I'm going to have to record this live, or post being live anyway, and then get it up for you guys on the on CastBox or iTunes or whatever. I'll have to take time to do that today. So I'm letting you guys know that now.
It
happens.
I don't know if you know how we always end our show. So you're going to say, Soli Deo Gloria.
Worry about the glory.
You just say Gloria.
All right. So anyway, this is the Tag Your Podcast. I'm Ray Ray.
I'm Dave.
And this is
Casey.
And Soli
Deo Gloria. Bring forth the royal title.